We haven't talked with Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter in more than a week, and something's wrong with that. So we're going to do something about it right now and get Kyle on the other end of our line. Kyle, you're like my legislative physician. You always get me up to speed with what's going on. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, I was talking to someone in the office, and I said, I haven't been on Tony Conley's show all week. I wonder if there's something wrong. I was trying to retrace what I said last week. Maybe I said something stupid. I was getting self-conscious, Tony.
No, Kyle, if anyone's going to say anything stupid, it's yours truly. thanks for coming on the program. Now, something we knew was coming, but when we, when the word came out, it was still almost stunning, if you will. The personal property test, that PPT, the senators voted to end the tax, and a lot of municipalities are bummed out about that.
Yeah, they are. But, the strange thing is, Tony, is that there was some compromise there, and I don't think they would have gotten the amount of Republican support they got had they not done more to assure local government that they will be getting some reimbursement from the state, that they're not going to be left high and dry. The assurances weren't enough, though. The Municipal League really wants some kind of constitutional guarantee. That's not going to happen. But, I think the assurances in there for local governments are enough to get it through the House eventually. In fact, they're so good that the Michigan Manufacturers Association doesn't like the language and would rather have it out. So the House is going to deal with it at some point after the election, or certainly after the summer. That's what it looks like.
There was talk, and I think we talked about this, Kyle, that it was almost etched in stone that some funding was going to be lost. So it was almost like a cut. Do you still believe that?
Well, there's some language in there that says that if you have some bonded indebtedness, and that was really kind of a big problem that municipalities had. If you had some bonded indebtedness that the personal property tax money was helping pay for, that you will be taken care of 100% on that amount, so that your bond rating doesn't go down also because of that. That was the concern of municipalities was, we issued bonds, and based on the revenue that we were expecting from this personal property tax, and if you take that money off the equation, all of a sudden our bond rating goes down, how much we have to pay goes up, and that really puts an additional bind on us. And so to protect them from that, they made it clear that if you base any money or you base any bonded indebtedness on revenue you expected to get from this tax, we will take care of that 100%.
In a story that's on the MERS newsletter this morning, 1,000 more prisoners are behind Michigan bars. That's 1,000 people. That's a lot of money. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, we thought that was interesting, too, because the trend has been for fewer people to be behind bars. We're trying to cut prison costs, and the way to do that is to get people more on parole, to do some electronic tethering, to do other things to try and prevent the expensiveness of, is that a word, expense? How about just the expense of putting people behind bars? And so to see that 1,000 more, that the trend is now going the other way, kind of raises some questions. Now, apparently it's because the parole officers are cracking down harder on people, and they're coming back into the system. But, it raises question. If we're trying to cut costs in corrections, putting people behind bars, putting more people behind bars, doesn't mean we're cutting costs. It naturally means we're adding costs.
What's this story about Michigan Supreme Court Justice Diane Hathaway and her real estate transfer? Some think she's trying to conceal assets. Why is that such a big story?
Well, it's a big deal because it could be illegal. But we don't know, because she hasn't really talked about it to explain what happened. But essentially, you're familiar with a short sale, right, Tony? That's where you tell the bank, hey, listen, I don't have the money to pay my mortgage anymore. I'm going to let the bank sell it, but you're going to sell it at a loss. And, even if I owe like $120 on it and you get $80, the bank is going to eat that $40,000, right? She went through a short sale on a home that was valued at $1.2 million. But prior to doing that, she had other homes that she put into the name of her stepchildren. And then after the short sale went through, she had those properties put back into the name of her and her husband. So it makes it appear like she was hiding assets.
All right, Kyle, I've got to get to a break. We're going to talk again early next week. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Team Tony.